welcome to a deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of studies out of the book of Numbers. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
And let her live. I'm going to let her live, but I'm going to kill you. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "Whoo, I have sinned, for I did not know you were standing in the way against me." Now watch this phrase. "Now then, if it's displeasing to you, I will turn back. I'll go back if you want me to." I'll turn back if you want me to. What did God just tell him? He just told him here, "Yo, the reason I'm standing here, because you're going the wrong way. You're going contrary to me. I'll turn back if you want me to." Where's his will at? His will is still to go. Let me see how much money I can get out of these guys. I mean, a king? The king done called me? But I'll turn back if you want me to. All right. So let me just kind of jump ahead. Balaam, he meets the king, and he's going to give four visions to this king of what he see. The first vision in chapter 23, beginning with verse number 7. Let me just read a couple of verses to that you can understand. Verse number 1, it says, of chapter 23, "And Balaam says to Balak, 'Build 7 altars for me here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me.'" So he's getting ready to carry out this divination ceremony, okay? So he said, "I need you to build 7 altars." So that's going to take a lot of work, isn't it? He said, "I need you to build 7 altars, and I want you to put on that altar 7 bulls and 7 rams." All right, so it's going to cost you something. All right. "And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar." Now, let me go on over to verse 7. "And he took up his discourse and said, 'From Aram Balak had brought me, Moab king from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed?'" Underline that, I highlight that. "How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? As I see him from the top of the rocks, I look at him from the hills. Behold, a people who dwells apart and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his." What did he see? What he saw in this ceremony, that Israel was blessed. He said, and they can't be cursed. Isn't that something? So he saw, here it is, that God had chosen Israel. God had chosen Israel. And notice at the end, verse 10, guess what he says? He said, "These people are so blessed, I wish I could die with them." Isn't that something? Now, this is what he saw in his vision. This is what he saw in his vision. Now when Balak saw this or heard this, verse 11, "Then Balak said to Balaam, 'What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have actually blessed them. You done blessed them. I didn't pay you to curse them. I mean, to bless them. I paid you to curse them, but you done blessed them rather than cursing them. And he answered and said, must I not be careful to speak what the Lord put in my mouth? Who controls even the devil? God. So you see how God stepped in this wicked ceremony and took something that was supposed to have been for bad, God overruled. See, where man rules, God overrules. Yeah, I don't care what the rule is. Wherever there's a rule, God overrules because God is the chief ruler. All right. That's vision number one. Vision number two, verse number 13, he takes them to another place and he built another 7 more altars. And he says, maybe if we get another location, you can see something different. Let's just change the location. All right. Look at this location here. Verse number 13 through 30. Let me just highlight down here at verse number 18 and 19. Then he took up this discourse and said, this is what he saw. Arise, O Balaam, and hear. Give ears to me, O sons of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And then look at verse number 20. Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. He has not observed. Now watch this. This is a strange statement. He has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among him. Now notice, he says, God don't work like man. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Whatever God say, that's what he's going to do. In other words, God said that these people was going to be blessed, and this changing location ain't doing no good. They still blessed. You see what he's saying? But notice the strange statement. He said, when God looks at these people, God said, I don't see no reason to curse them. I don't see them doing nothing wrong down there. Now, isn't that something? That's strange. But why is that? It's because when they came out of Israel or came out of Egypt, they came out, what? Under the blood. Remember, they had to put some blood on the doorpost. And so when God looks at his people who are saved by the blood of the Lamb, God don't see no sin. It's just like when he look at your life, the reason God said, the reason I can't curse them, because I don't see no reason to curse them, because all I see is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? But this old wicked king didn't give up, y'all. He said, maybe we need to change a location. Amen. Because what's the key to being successful? According to McDonald's, they say is location, location, location. So this king say, hey, man, let's go ahead and change location. Maybe you can see, you know, a little bit different if we just change location. All right, so go over here to chapter 24. Chapter 24. God has accepted Israel. I'm sorry. God has accepted Israel. God has accepted Israel. Yeah, that was up under the second vision. The third vision. chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. Again, he takes him to another location. And notice here at verse number 2, something strange happened to Balaam. Watch this. It said, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, isn't this something? This time, other time, God was just showing him in the Spirit, but this time, God says, I'm going to let the Spirit come on in you, and now you're going to prophesy. Watch this. And he took up this discourse and said, the oracles of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracles of man whose eyes is open, the oracles of him who hear the word of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down yet having his eyes uncovered, how fair are your tents? Look at what he's saying when he look at Israel. He says, how fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens besides the river, like Elam, planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water shall flow from his bucket, and his seed shall be by many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out from Egypt. He is for him like the horn of the wild ox. He shall devour the nations who are adversary and shall crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He crouches, he lies down as a lion who dare rouse him. Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and curses is everyone that curses you. What did he do that time? Huh? Again, he blesses them. Isn't that something? But what did he see? He said, I see all this water. I see pretty land. I see rivers. I see all this water. But where was Israel at? They was in the desert. There wasn't no water out there. But he saw them in the promised land, and he says, I see them, and they conquering nations in the promised land. Now, why did this king, Balak, why did he go get Balaam to begin with? To stop him from coming in the promised land. You see? But this time he saw him already there in the promised land. Isn't that something? And he says, I can't bless, I can't curse nothing that God already done blessed. Isn't that something? How many of you know? See, most of the time we spend too much time in today. And we worry about today. Once you got saved, God already got you covered every day. Not only just today, it's every. God already done seen your future. Matter of fact, when God does something, he start at the end, then he bags up. He bags up, and then he grabs you, and then starts you on your way. But when you wake up in the morning, your day is already covered. So ain't no sense in worrying about that day. Hello, somebody. Why is that? Because you got a God in your life. You got the true and the living God. And you got the blessings of God on your life. And just like they said, you can't curse something that God already done blessed. Hello, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. All right, one more last time. Okay, this time, the third vision, Israel will be exalted and the nations will be defeated. Israel, in other words, Israel is going to be brought up and the nations going to be brought down. Israel is going to be exalted. Right now, they ain't got nothing out there in that wilderness. But, man, they're getting ready to get some of the best of the land. They're getting ready to have water, because you're going to need water if you're going to have a garden and things like that. And so God is going to really bless Israel. All right, the fourth vision. He takes them to another location. Man, they can't. All right. He takes it. Boy, this guy don't want to give up, do it. Why is that? Because he's dealing with trying to stop somebody that ain't never lost a battle. Now, the first battle that Israel fought, they won that without even a fight. God just opened up what, the Red Sea and just drowned the whole army. Ain't that something? I mean, so every fight they've been winning, really God's been the one that's winning the battle. They just showing up for the fight for the most part. Hey, how many of y'all know basically that's what it is? Have you ever read over in the book of Revelation? Over in the book of Revelation, the Bible says when Jesus come back, he's going to mount up with on a white horse, and he's going to bring us back, the saints of God, with him. And so we're going to come back. We're his army. We're going to come back, and we're going to fight in this great battle of Armageddon. And the Bible says that the fight going to be over in one word. Now, once Jesus speaks that one word, it's going to be over. So now we the army, now we here ready to fight. So what we showing up for? We showing up basically to watch the fight. Amen. We going to show up and say, ooh, now Lord, now you show bad. Man, just one word. Wow. Isn't that powerful? We got a God that can speak one word. And all of this crisis, the Middle East crisis, will be solved in one word. Boom. Isn't that something? I don't know about you. I'm glad to be on the Lord's side. Look at this last vision, and then we're done with this last vision. All right. This last vision, chapter 24, verses 15 through 25. I just want to read one verse, though, out of this one, because I think you're kind of getting the gist of how he have these articles. Verse 17, notice what he says. Excuse me. He said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star comes forth from Jacob. Underline that word star. And a sceptre shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Shep. Now, isn't this something? He said, man, now this time, not only did he see Israel going into the promised land, he looked way into the future. He said, man, I see a star and I see a sceptre. In other words, this thing that the king care. Now, Israel ain't got no king, but he said, I see a king. And he said, this king is going to beat Moab. Now, in prophecy, sometimes you have like a double revelation. You see something that's specific, but you see something that points to Jesus Christ. What he saw here, he saw King David. King David was Israel's second king, and he beat Moab. He beat these other nations that Balaam saw. But he not only saw David, he saw Jesus. How do I know he saw Jesus? The wise men, they say, we saw a star. We've been following this star, and we've been coming. We're coming to worship him. This the first time it's mentioned about this star of Jesus. Now, you done heard of the star of David. Basically, that's it. But the star of David is the star that leads men to Jesus Christ. So do you see what Balaam done saw? God let this man look. Wait 1,400 years down the line and saw Jesus. Isn't that something? That's powerful, isn't it? Amen. Now, so he couldn't do what the king wanted him to do because God was in control. Isn't that something? So God, even though he did go, he didn't get his will done. God's will is still. See, let me tell you something. You're going to either do God's will. You're going to even do God's will willingly or unwillingly. But God's will is going to be done. Amen. Whether God is going to use you to walk, to run, or whether he got to drag you, or whether he got to knock you down. But God is going to get his will done. All right, let's finish up the lesson. Okay, Israel future glory. That's what that showed. That showed Israel future glory. I'm sorry. So we got the four visions. The first vision showed what now? Let's make sure we got them all. God has chosen Israel. The second vision, God has accepted Israel. The third vision, Israel will be exalted and the nation will be defeated. And then the final vision, Israel future glory. All right. So what can we learn from this lesson? Three things right quick. When you know God's will, you just obey God's will. When you know God's will, just obey God's will. You don't have to go pray about God's will. When you know God's will, you don't have to go pray about God's will. I know that he's an unbeliever, but I think I'm going to pray first and ask God. No, what did God say? You already know. That's clear. God said, don't you? You ain't got no business hooking up with no unbeliever. Hell, let me go pray. No, you don't need to pray. You already know what God's will is. But let me tell you something. If you know what God's will is, but you don't have your mind made up to do God's will, you can get what you want, but it's not really what you want. See, Balaam got what he wanted. He was able to go, didn't he? But he didn't get really what he wanted. He didn't get paid like he wanted to get paid. All that trouble, going from this location, that location, killing seven rams here, all that work for nothing. All he done was just going to a slaughterhouse. Huh? That man didn't pay. Would you pay somebody to curse you? Hello, somebody. Amen. And this is a warning, too, to preachers. Don't get in the ministry for money, because it's not going to work out like you think it is. All right, second thing. When your way is hard, you're going the wrong way. If your way is just hard, you're going the wrong way. Remember Balaam? Man, he kept trying to ride that donkey, and he got in a situation where he was like boxing. The donkey couldn't go to the right or left. Why? Because he was going the wrong way. If you feel like you just boxed in and you can't really maneuver, it's because you're going the wrong way. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. In other words, once you done crossed the line, God is going to make it hard for you. Why? Because God loves you. And God don't want you to put a curse on yourself.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen, because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.